Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Today just left me a little bit dumbfounded, if I'm being 100% honest. Like, yeah, I was already in sort of a weird state walking into today. It was just one of those days where I woke up and then spent far too long just laying in bed doing absolutely nothing. So I just felt off the entire day. It was like feet didn't want to hit the ground, didn't want to kickstart. So we were already a little bit foggy, but I'm like, I'm going through and I'm going throughout the day and I'm watching all the news flow in from the Browns, from Kevin Stefanski talking, Dylan Gabriel talking, everything that, you know, would come out from practice today. And obviously the one thing that sticks in my mind is the fact of Kevin Stefanski going through and basically telling you, backup quarterback, yeah, we don't know. Not quite sure where we've landed on that yet. And the entire idea was reinforced throughout practice, by the way, as well. Like, there was no tipping of the hand today where it's Kevin going, yeah, we're just not too sure, but we'll, you know, put Shador out onto the field with Dylan Gabriel, and they'll run basically as the 1 and 2, and you'll get your reps where he looks like the backup quarterback. No, Shador was on a separate field practicing alongside Bailey Zappe and the practice squad members, and it's like, it's where I get confused. I don't know what the hesitation to make Shador QB2 is at this point. Like, what other route are you going to go down? Legitimately, if it's putting Bailey Zappe as QB2, that doesn't seem like a very good option. Like, we saw Bailey Zappe play. It's not pretty football. Bailey Zappe is not an NFL caliber quarterback. He's not even a backup caliber quarterback. He's a fine guy to have on the practice squad. If you really want to have him as your emergency quarterback, I can understand it. Don't understand in the slightest moving him ahead of Shador at this point. You have everything laid out in front of you. Shador is the guy that not only the fans want to see next, but he should be the next guy in line. Like, you drafted him in the 5th round. Bailey Zappe was a late addition to the practice squad who, sure, he's been here, might understand some of the offense, but not really, because we take into account what the offense was last year. That's just not how that works. I'm sure there's some familiarity, maybe with the language used in the building, but that's about it. And obviously now being on the practice squad, I'm sure he's been caught up to speed and everything else. But, like, it's not like there's some innate advantage here. And I don't feel any better about having Bailey Zappe in a game if Dylan Gabriel was to go down, certainly than I would have if it was Shador Sanders. I would rather have the wild card, the kid you drafted, the kid who we've all seen the potential of throughout college and throughout the draft process in wanting to see play in a Browns uniform. It just doesn't add up to me, and the hesitation doesn't make any sense to me either. Like, the worst part of this for me is that I understand that this might be a development side of things, and I've heard that from the Browns, right? Maybe he's not ready to go right now. You want to give him the opportunity to develop and make sure that he's truthfully ready. I understand that side of it. But not naming a QB2 really makes it that much worse. Like, I get it. That's not going to be the guy that's starting on Sunday, but it would be ideal that the guy who would have to step into the spot after him would at least know it's going to be me to step in the spot after him. And again, the way they handle practice day makes me believe that decision isn't made internally either. Like, they didn't walk in today and go, you know what? Shador, you're QB2. We're just not going to announce it quite yet. Like, we're not going to go quite down that route. And it makes me scratch my head. Like, I see guys drafted in the fifth round that are just the backup quarterbacks for their team. I see guys drafted in the fifth round that certainly are the emergency quarterback and then eventually are the backup quarterback for their team. I get, like, hey, you drafted him on day three. You did not scream that there's a boatload of confidence that Shador Sanders is going to be a great quarterback in the NFL by the place that you drafted him. But you did, at the end of the day, select him, knowing that you have the one-year window. So, like, I don't know where the thought process is. You say that you have to see him. Jimmy Haslam did it during training camp earlier on this year. It's important to see both rookie quarterbacks. But quite frankly, I'd like the rookie to be ready to take the reins. Like, it has now been 5 weeks of football. You have been in the building since basically you were drafted. If you're Shador, you've done everything right that we've been able to see when it comes to the on-the-field preparation part of it. And I'm not buying the, oh, well, he just doesn't know the offense side of it. No. Like, at that point, that's on you. I get it. There's guys who are, you know, don't grasp things as quickly, and they talk about Dillon Gabriel having an insane processing speed and everything else. To pick up the offense, I would imagine you wouldn't even have had Shador as the emergency quarterback three if he couldn't pick up the offense. Like, why go through the trouble of going, oh, well, you know, we're going to keep Shador around, but he can't grasp it even though he's been here for months on months now and he still doesn't understand the offense? I would imagine that guy wouldn't even be in the building. It's enough time to learn what's happening and understand protections and everything. You pick up on those things. I don't buy that Shador just doesn't have an understanding of it. I don't buy that if you put him out into an NFL field that it would just be a complete disaster. I'm not saying it's going to be great. I'm not saying that he's going to be fully prepared to take on that moment. But again, I turn to the same thing we talked about with Dillon Gabriel. It never feels like the rookie quarterback will ever be ready to take on the moment. Very few of those guys are just built to be NFL ready. At some point, it's trial by fire. Like, you just put him in and it's a sink or swim moment. Figure out what you have in Shador Sanders. Feels like if you're willing to trade away Joe Flacco, go to the rookie quarterback, it feels like you should be telling me Shador Sanders is at least partially ready for that moment. It's not like you're banking on Dillon getting hurt and having to leave the game, but if it happens, yeah, the next guy in line should be Shador. And he should be prepared to play the way that he says he's prepared to play every single week. Bryant McFadden, CBS Sports, is on earlier today with Nick and JP on Afternoon Drive. And feels like he echoed a lot of what I was thinking when it comes to the QB2 spot for the Browns.
So when you move on from Joe Flacco, he's no longer a part of the organization. Shouldn't that move everyone else up like he did? Now Dillon Gabriel goes from number two to number one, right? If that's the case, shouldn't Shador go from the emergency quarterback who was number three to the number two position? So what are we talking about? Help me understand the logic. Either they're just playing coy because of the attention that follows Shador. They don't want to make that announcement just yet because of the media attention that will follow him. Hey, he's the number two guy. You know, the microphone will be in his face. Or they're just not making any logical sense.
And it is, like, if you told me, and at the beginning of the year, it did sound like, when it asked about Bailey Zappe, Kevin basically told you he's there for emergency. He's there because he's the guy who's been here and we trust him and we know Bailey Zappe. It's nothing more than that. It sounded like Shador was ahead in the pecking order. I don't even know that I really understand we're trying to protect him from the microphone being in his face and all of the media attention and everything swirling to Shador. You're doing the exact same thing right now. By not naming him QB2, you are bringing on the same media storm. You can't avoid it. There is no way that media storm just goes away. When you drafted Shador Sanders, you signed up for the media storm and everything that comes along with it. Flat out, you did. That's it. You know that there's going to be media attention around it. If nothing else, this season has proven the media attention will follow no matter what's happening with Shador Sanders. So it's not like you're protecting anybody. You're not protecting Shador in this case. You're not protecting the Cleveland Browns from the media storm. It's all right there in your face. How many national shows do we see today following a Joe Flacco trade talking about Shador Sanders and whether or not he should be QB2 for the Browns? It's about every single one that I've seen. Almost all of the national shows today had a segment about Shedeur Sanders. You're still the talk of the town. It's still the thing. You're not protecting anybody. I don't understand it. And this is a guy that you drafted. And I get it. Like, we saw the reaction from Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski, whether mistimed or just flat out reality, not being that excited for Shedeur. I don't know that I buy into the fact they weren't excited, but you drafted him. Like, if you're Andrew Berry, that's still on your record, whether it was your decision or Jimmy Haslam's. If you're Kevin Stefanski, that's still the player you were handed. And when I go through the pre-draft process and I'm looking at it, and I'm incredibly high on Shedeur to the Browns, it's because of the idea that you can throw me the developmental, everything else that goes with it, but the same reason you drafted Dylan Gabriel should have been a similar reason as to why you drafted Shedeur Sanders. The areas in which Shedeur succeeds are the areas in which the Cleveland Browns base their offense. It's the short to intermediate passing. It's the ability to evade pressure and throw on the run. It's all of the things that Shedeur does well. Again, there's gaps in Shador's game. I'm not saying it's perfect. But the things he does well line up with the things that the Browns offense need their quarterbacks to do well in order to find success. So I just don't understand the thing that's actually holding him back. And another reason why I scratched my head today, Aditi Kinkabwala on CBS Sports talked about Shedeur and his fit with Kevin Stefanski.
He's got a great magnetism to who he is. He's got a lot of growing to do, and he has admitted that. He is working towards that. He is getting better. But what he ran at Colorado is not necessarily what Kevin Stefanski is looking to run right now. And so there's certainly still a lot of growth that he needs to do, both in the playbook, on the field, and even off the field. We saw the miming in the locker room a week ago. I don't think that this is a statement that he is one snap away from going in. This is Dylan Gabriel's team right now. He does not need to look over his shoulder. The Browns want to see progress out of him. And yes, there's more opportunity for Shedeur to continue to keep getting better as he has all year.
I just don't buy into it wasn't what he was doing at Colorado. You're right. The two offenses are very different. Go look at Oregon's offense. Dylan Gabriel was not running a Kevin Stefanski offense at Oregon either. But the things that Dylan did well in college translated very well to what Kevin Stefanski wanted to do in the NFL. Go look at any college quarterback. It's not a Kevin Stefanski offense. You want to tell me that there's a ton of college quarterbacks running under center right now? Because I guarantee you there's not. And certainly not NFL-ready guys running a ton under center. If you want to pull to me like Air Force, yeah, a lot of under center looks there. That's because they don't throw the football. College quarterbacks all basically operate almost entirely in the shotgun. It's not what a Kevin Stefanski offense is, and that's fine. But don't tell me Shedeur doesn't fit in the Kevin Stefanski offense. Shedeur does fit in the offense. There should be no hesitation right now in making him QB2. You traded away Joe. You told me don't need the veteran in the room. Should tell me rookies are ready to go. Rookies are closer to playing than not. Bailey Zappe cannot be the thing that stands in the way of my rookie quarterback seeing the field at the earliest possible moment that makes sense for this team. And yes, unfortunately, Dylan going down would be the earliest possible moment for Shedeur right now. Not hoping that it happens, but in the case that it does, it should be a no-brainer to me. Shedeur should be there. 216-474-0092. Why is there hesitation to make Shedeur Sanders QB2? Feels like the wrong decision to me. I want to hear from you guys. You can also get to me on X at Vulnic Jake, V-U-L-I-N-E-C, Jake. So we can do our social media reactions powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Plenty of good stuff coming up for you guys tonight. At the end of this hour, 8:40, we're going to talk to our very own Cleveland Sports beat reporter, Daryl Ryder, going to join us. We have Get a Grip coming your way at 9, immediately followed by Dan Lobby of Cleveland.com. Joins us every Wednesday at 9:20. We'll pick his brain about Pittsburgh coming up, the entire situation surrounding the quarterbacks, and more. And, of course, in the 10 o'clock hour, we'll bring in Michael Markoch, another edition of Change Your Mind. But right now, 216-474-0092. Why is there hesitation to make Shedeur QB2 for the Cleveland Browns? And one statement from earlier today that just seems to spell out Dylan Gabriel's success. It's all coming your way in 5 minutes on Overtime with Jake Volnick, with the guys here until 11 on The Fan. You're coming to the point in the season when you move on from Joe, both as a starting quarterback and organizationally in general, and trade him away to Cincinnati, that you're...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
We're moving up the line. Like, I understand protecting Shador while there's Joe and there's Dylan and not putting him out there in a spot. I understand even this most recent week of saying, you know what, we're not going to put that on Shador because we're saying that Dylan Gabriel's ready this week. If something goes wrong there, you feel more comfortable with Joe running the offense than you do with Shador. That makes total sense to me. Joe has been in this system. He was your starter for four straight weeks. Makes sense that he's your backup. Dylan was QB3. As soon as Joe's gone, the indication should be that Shador's QB2. And he moves up the line the same way that Dylan moved up the line. Like, I just don't understand where the idea that you're even considering Bailey Zappe seriously right now as QB2, or God forbid, bringing somebody else in to be QB2. I don't think they're actually doing that. I'm just throwing that out there. I don't think that's the thought process here. But if there's a battle between Bailey Zappe and Shador, again, I pose the question of why is Shador even on the roster at that point? Like, you knew it was a one-year evaluation period. Even if he's here after it just for a quarterback on the cheap, it was a one-year evaluation whether or not he's going to be a starting quarterback. You think you'd want to see him. I just don't understand operating with kid gloves in trying to protect your fifth-round pick. They don't do that in any other circumstance. Again, 216-474-0092. Do you understand the hesitation of making sure QB2? Let's go to the phones. Jeff is in Chesterland. What's going on, Jeff?
Hey, how you doing tonight?
We're doing pretty good. How are you, man?
Good, good. Now, the only thing I could think of is if Dylan gets hurt and they want to put in Shador in the middle of a game, I mean, I heard somewhere that they want to give him maybe a full week, you know, to prepare a game plan for him. So maybe the backup quarterback will be Zappe, and then, you know, the next game, maybe they'll start Shador. I mean, and then it depends on how many – if he gets hurt, how many games is he going to be out? So, I mean, maybe I'm overthinking it, but I think that's what Stefanski is doing, overthinking it.
Yeah, no, and I mean, Jeff, the logic and where you're coming from makes a ton of sense, and I appreciate the call. Like, I do get that side of it to a degree, because it was a report that we got, and it's a good call by Jeff that, yes, they said that when Shador does get a start, they want him to have a full week to prepare. a quarterback going down for injury is not the thing that you prepare for, though. Like, yes, it can happen. There is a preparation in place for that of having a backup quarterback, making sure that guy's up to speed. Like, if Shador steps into the middle of the game and looks bad, who is going to be sitting there going, this is what I told you. This is why you can't play. Like, nobody is going to, you understand, I think, as a fan, that quarterback gets thrust into a situation. You don't necessarily expect the backup quarterback to come in and operate the game plan to a perfection the way that the starter would have done it. I guess Shador would maybe be a little out of his element that week. But you should also be planning for these quarterbacks to be running a similar offense. I get it. There's different things you can and cannot do with those guys in. But there should already be an understanding in place that if Shador plays, he should know the plays that he can run just being a part of this team. He should know the playbook front to back, and whatever is called, he should be prepared to operate it. And as a quarterback on the roster, you should, even if you're QB3, if you're the emergency quarterback, you should still be doing the scouting report and everything else and going through these same preparations in a way that your starter and your backup are going through. That if I have to step into a game, I know what's happening. I know what I'm facing on the other side of the field, even if it is a long shot chance that I'm going to get into the game. That should be the preparation from top to bottom. I don't get really what the difference is of Shador coming in the middle of a game and just being like, hey, you got to finish this one out. Dylan got hurt. And then having the full week of preparation, because I don't put high expectations on Shador if I see him step into the middle of a game. I don't put any expectations, really, on Shador if he has to step into the middle of a game. You should be ready. You should be prepared. If you don't look the greatest, I'm going to go, yeah, I'd like to see what you can do with a full week of prep here, a full week of getting ready to be the starter. Nobody's drawing conclusions on Shador Sanders. It should come down to who is the more talented quarterback, who is going to give you a better chance to win football games. I've seen Bailey Zappe play. I'm going to take a wild guess and say that Bailey Zappe's probably not giving me the better chance to win games over Shador Sanders. And even if he is, I don't need to see Bailey Zappe play football. I really don't. Like, flat out. If the season's in the gutter and if Dylan goes down, the season might very well just be in the gutter. I mean, we're sitting at 1-4 right now. The season might already be in the gutter. I just don't understand. If you're operating on it gives us the best chance to win, that's great. You're on your third quarterback of the season already and would very likely be going to QB4 at some point there anyway. Like, winning has pretty much already gone out the window. You're in pure evaluation mode at that point. You could make the argument the Browns are in evaluation mode right now. Let's go to Cannelly's in Cleveland. What's going on?
What's going on, man?
What's going on, Cannelly? What do you got?
It's Cinelli.
Cinelli? Gotcha.
Yeah, I was wondering, man, you know, you the first dude on all the radios I've been listening to. I listened to 92.3 in the morning time. Mm-hmm. You is the first one, man, that giving Shador his credit, man. Now, I understand Dylan Gabriel played all them years of college, all them teams, and he got a bunch of snaps. But just pound for pound, this shit crazy, man. Shador's supposed to be playing, supposed to get a shot. This shit just don't seem right, man. It ain't right.
Yeah, it's Sinelli, I appreciate the call. I think, like, I struggle between the give Shador his credit thing, because Dylan Gabriel should be the starter right now, and I do think he is the more prepared quarterback, more NFL-ready quarterback as it stands right now. It just, if we're putting Shador into the fourth quarterback on the roster, again, looks like a guy you probably shouldn't have drafted in the fifth round. Like, if he's that far behind, if he's that unprepared to play football, I give Andrew Berry a lot of credit for the draft class he put together this year. I truthfully do. I think it was a great draft class, nearly top to bottom. And Dylan playing, even, I said he met expectations this week, even living up to that standard, you really went through the entire first four rounds without missing a pick. At least it looks that way right now, and we're 5 weeks into the season. I'm not crowning anybody at this point, but it looks really good. But if Shador's not even ready, I'm looking at your fifth-round pick and going, I'm still struggling to, you know, be able to trust your evaluation of a quarterback if you're Andrew Berry. The most important position to be able to get right when it comes to a draft, especially for the Cleveland Browns. It's like, how are you evaluating quarterbacks if Shador's not ready to play? And everything that I've seen has showed me that Shador at some point this year should be ready to go and should be the third quarterback in line. I just don't get it. Let's keep the phone calls rolling here. 216-474-0092. Pete's in Strongsville. What's going on, Pete?
Hey, how you doing, bud?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you, man?
I'm good. Thanks for asking. Hey, I have a two-part question. One, do you think the trade was more like a Billy Beane thing, you know, where you know, from what, you know, Stefanski saying, it just happened fast. Like, he sounded like he really didn't know what was going down. It might have been something to clear the path for Shavdor. I mean, nobody's really talking about that. And the second part of my question is, and I might be wrong on this, but is Stefanski the only coach that doesn't cater his playbook to the, you know, to his talented quarterback? You know, you can go back to Deshaun on that. So I'll just wait here and listen to what you got to say. And thanks for taking my call, brother.
Yeah, absolutely, Pete. I appreciate you making it. I saw this thrown out, and I had a couple of chats, like text threads with a couple of friends that had thrown out the idea that basically, did Joe Flacco get moneyballed, right, when you throw out the Billy Beane comment? I don't know that it's that. I think that this organization operates so much based on a value that they saw an opportunity where Joe was probably not going to play football here unless it was in an injury situation where he closes out a game in whatever's left of it and then probably wasn't going to be put back into a starting role. I don't think this is we're clearing the path for Shador, maybe, and we're going to address that later on in the show. I'll ask something similar to Daryl and Dan as well when they join us here. Daryl coming up in about 8 minutes, and Dan's going to join us at 9:20. I'll ask something along those lines, but I don't think so. I think this was just more, you could get a fifth round or, you know, upgraded basically a sixth to a fifth round by trading away Joe, and they value the ability to have, you know, better draft picks and be able to draft higher and try to acquire as much value as you can, whether to, you know, circulate a trade later down the line or just draft a better player. I think that's more of what this was than really clearing a path for Shador Sanders to get onto the field. But there's definitely room to have a conversation there around a little bit of that. Let's go to Paul's in Garfield. What's going on, Paul?
Hey, what's up? Man, you know what? It's a problem worldwide. People see it with their own eyes, but don't want to admit to it, but they don't see it. Everybody knows. Everybody knows that Shador is even a better quarterback than Gilbert. It's the system. You're making Gilbert appear to be better. Gilbert is not better than Sanders. He's not. But for some odd reason, oh, he's not ready yet. What, is Gilbert ready? Gilbert, did you see his passes? He's going to get exposed, definitely against Pittsburgh. All I'm saying is, it's a shame. What Stefanski and the Browns are starting, I hate to say it, they started something that they are inciting something. Shador Sanders is the name, number two quarterback, it's inciting, it don't look good. You know, some people might play the race card, and all types of thoughts might happen. It's something ain't right, because everybody know that Sanders is a much better quarterback than Gilbert, period. Gilbert should be the third-string quarterback, not Sanders. I'll hang up and listen. Thank you, man.
I appreciate the call, Paul. I think Paul called this yesterday and did the same thing. It's Gabriel. It's Don Gabriel. We got to get that. He is the starting quarterback for the Cleveland Browns. We got to get the last name right. Now, I do think that when I look at things, I do think that Dylan is a more prepared quarterback. Now, I've always said this. I think Shador has the higher ceiling than Dylan Gabriel does. I don't necessarily agree with that. And people have already played the race card multiple times throughout this season. Guys, I really can't sit here and tell you that I think there's any validity to that at all. They paid Deshaun Watson $230 million. Like, at the end of the day, I'm not saying that just exonerates you entirely from the conversation, but it comes pretty close. It does start that conversation. It kind of kills it in its tracks a little bit of looking around the room and being like, look at basically every single person that they've paid on the team right now. Most of the guys who have earned contracts, you're not looking at, you know, Rex Sunahara getting $150 million. Not that he would ever get a $100 million deal, but I'm just saying, like, it's Myles Garrett, it's Denzel Ward, Deshaun Watson, the guys that get paid here. I don't think you can play the race card. All right, we're going to leave that there for right now. We're going to talk about Dylan Gabriel coming back in a little bit. But Daryl Ryder, our Cleveland Sports Beat reporter, joins us in about 5 minutes to help break down the entire quarterback situation, what we're looking at, and everything else right here on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan. Jake Volnick with you guys here on Overtime. Coming up in about 17 minutes, we're going to get a grip as we normally do. But to get more on Browns quarterback situation, a game coming in Pittsburgh this weekend, we head out and we bring in our Cleveland Sports Beat reporter, Daryl Ryder, brought to you courtesy of Scheibman Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Daryl, what's going on?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Not much. How are you?
We're doing pretty good. I mean, since the last talk, I sat here and I expected to have Shedeur Sanders named QB2 leading in today. We did not get that news, and we did not get any indication of who QB2 will be based on what the Browns are out in the practice field.
Well, yeah, and Shedeur is not going to be QB2 in my view. I think it's going to be Bailey Zappe.
Daryl, does it at any point draw into question, like, I get they're talking about the development of Shedeur, and they prioritize that very highly. I also think at some point, if you draft two quarterbacks and you draft one in the fifth round and are bringing the guy that you essentially pulled off of his couch near the end of training camp to bring in and play above him, there's right. Questions asked about, you know, the ability to draft and evaluate talent at quarterback there.
Yeah, well, I explained this on my daily Brownie Bites. There's a strategic reason for this too, and it's a roster management reason. Okay, NFL rules stipulate that your emergency quarterback on game day has to be on your active 53-man roster. Well, Shedeur Sanders has already been the emergency quarterback. Okay, and he's on the 53-man roster. They can elevate Bailey Zappe a couple of times to be the backup without using a roster spot to do it. And then once they use those elevations up, then they have to make a decision whether or not to sign him to the 53 or not. Or, okay, is Shedeur ready to be a backup at that point? So what you do is you buy yourself a few more weeks for Shedeur to get some more actual practice reps instead of having to go to his local college or high school to do that stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then also at the time, too, I believe, too, that it will eventually set him up to start some games in December when the Browns have a bunch of home games. The season is pretty much flushed down the drain, and the way to keep fans engaged and interested is, oh, we're going to start Shedeur Sanders for a couple of these games, right? Then, you know, people won't sell their tickets to all the fans in Buffalo and Pittsburgh. That is my theory. That is my hypothesis. That is what I have come up with as far as how I expect them to manage that over the next couple of weeks. I expect that Bailey Zappe's going to end up being QB2. Shedeur stays in the same spot he is. He starts to get more practice reps to prep him for that backup role, and then eventually he becomes QB2, and then eventually he becomes QB1.
So you would feel then today was kind of an outlier where Shedeur is off on the other field practicing alongside Bailey Zappe instead of maybe practicing alongside Dylan Gabriel in the starters?
Well, I mean, we get to see 10 minutes of practice. Mm-hmm. And honestly, we don't get to see anything. Okay? We're not even allowed to film quarterbacks throwing footballs to anybody. Okay? So I'm not reading anything into that, to be honest with you. I'm not. It's not the first time we've seen something like that. We remember what they did during training camp and mini camp where they split the fields up, right? The rookies on one mm-hmm. field, the two veterans on the other. I'm not going to read anything into the 5 minutes that we saw that occur in practice today. I can't make a big deal of that because I think that'd be irresponsible.
Daryl, I guess the other thing that it stuck out to me today from Kevin Stefanski speaking was the way he talked about the Joe Flacco trade, saying that it caught him by surprise and the deal moved very quickly. Is that just, you think, nature of the trade and it's actually the way it went down, or does it spell maybe a little bit more disconnect between Stefanski and the organization and the way the roster is being handled?
No, I mean, look, I think it was Cincinnati called, said, hey, can we have Joe Flacco? The Browns said, let us think about it a minute and get back to you. They did. They consummated the trade, and that's that. So I don't know that signals a disconnect. I will say this, though. That was one of those press conferences where I kind of feel like this might be the first time Kevin Stefanski's thinking about when the music stops, there may not be a chair for him at the end of the season. Did not even want to touch a question about Deshaun Watson's rehab and his ability to potentially practice or play, right? Like, I was like touching the third rail, okay, which you just don't do, right? Like, that's what that felt like. And it's like, well, hey, you know, and that's why I asked him the question I did about, hey, well, Deshaun's posting all this stuff on social media, and I realize a social media post does not necessarily mean ready to practice, ready to play, but he's kind of showing people that he's ready. He feels that he's ready. So how do you balance that? And, you know, Kevin gave a typical Kevin answer, a non-answer, I should say, to that, and then ended it with, well, I'm not worried about social media posts unlike everyone else seems to be. And I think that was not only a shot at Deshaun, but also maybe Shador, too. I don't know where Deshaun factors into this. 3 weeks ago, I was convinced that we were going to see Deshaun at some point. Now, well, maybe not so much. It's clear that right now this is all about the two kids. This is about Dylan Gabriel. This is about Shador Sanders. And here's the thing, too. They really have nothing to gain by starting Bailey Zappe before Shador, right? There's no evaluation process there. You know what I mean? It is what it is. So I think, though, that they're being careful with Shador. I don't feel like this is a negative. I don't think that this is Kevin Stefanski dogging on Shador or anything like that. I think it's just one of those, look, we know who he is. We know who his dad is. We see the physical talent and the tools. That's why we just said, yeah, why not? Let's go ahead and draft him. Maybe we find something there. And so they want to make sure that when they do put him out there, that he has the opportunity to be successful. He's got the toolkit needed to be successful. So I'm not going to hate on Stefanski and the Browns organization for handling him the way they are, even though I know there are fans out there that are just really, really angry and upset that that's how it's being handled right now. I actually feel like the Browns are doing this the adult way.
Daryl Reuter with us here on the hotline. Daryl, Ken had something interesting this morning that stuck out to me. He basically went through and said that if Dylan's going to sit here and play, what he thinks he sees that Dylan's never going to play poorly enough to the point where you think you have to bench Dylan Gabriel. You're never going to get poor enough play where you go like you did with Joe in the first 4 weeks and say, I can't play him anymore. You can't do it.
Well, that's assuming that Kevin mm-hmm. takes the reins off of him and lets him let it rip. Or does Kevin continue to have the same game plan where it's really tight and conservative and playing not to lose and playing not to take shots down the field? I mean, Jerry Jeudy in the locker room said today, you know, hopefully this is the week we can throw the ball down the field. That was Jerry Jeudy saying that, not me. I'm not putting that. It's in my Brownie Bites today. Go on YouTube when you're done listening to Jake tonight. Check it out. I put that clip in there. Jerry talking about, hey, hopefully this is the week that we get to, do some of that stuff. I don't know. right? We'll see what Kevin Stefanski lets him do, but I just felt like that game plan was all about just getting through the game with Dylan Gabriel intact and him not feeling like his career has been wrecked, and now let's just try and, you know, see if this takes the next step, and maybe Kevin opens things up, although I'm guessing the team you don't want to try and open things up with against is the Pittsburgh Steelers. And oh, by the way, guess who they're playing on Sunday? Yeah, it's the Pittsburgh Steelers, they got like 10 turnovers their defense has forced this year in that. So probably not the week to open it up. But yeah, at some point, I think you got to take the reins off Dylan and see what he's capable of. And give him an opportunity either to walk or stub his toe or fall or whatever. But at some point, that has to be part of that evaluation process. I understand protecting him early and out of the gate. And look, I think they'll do the same thing with Shadur. You want to protect him and make sure that you're putting him in positions to be successful. But at some point, you got to take the training wheels off and find out whether or not they can stay on the two tires and ride the bike.
Daryl, let me just say, professional company man move there to try to promote the rest of the show and the brownie bites all into one.
I've been called a lot of things, but I am most proud of being called a shameless shill, and that's what I am. I don't run from it. In fact, it is a badge of honor.
We love it, Daryl. Obviously, we talked about Pittsburgh coming up this week. How tough of a task is this right now for the Browns to walk into Pittsburgh, a place where they haven't had success, and go up against a team who's currently atop the AFC North?
Yeah, let's see. The last time the Browns won in Pittsburgh was, I think, the Clinton administration. I'm sorry. That was Bush 2 in 2003 in the regular season.
2 years old, Daryl. I was 2 years old.
Okay. You're dating yourself, by the way. Never do that. Never do that in this business. Never date yourself. Veteran tip from me to you, with love. It's a tall task. It really is. And I, quite frankly, have no expectation that they're going to go in and win this game. I think they'll be 1-5 when it's all said and done. Part of the reason that I'm just not all up in arms with this whole thing right now is... I'm sorry you were expecting this to go any better. Like, who expected this to go any better for the Browns at the start of the season? Nobody. Everybody was saying they're going to be 1-5 or 1-6 and 1-7. Like, everyone was saying that. Where the frustration legitimately comes in is the fact that they could be 3-2. They are a field goal make and a Denzel Ward mental mistake away from being 3-2. That's what's frustrating. And then obviously we're having completely different conversations, and maybe Joe Flacco is not putting on a Bengals jersey and helmet today. So like, but that's sports. That's just how the pendulum swings in this thing. So, the question I was asking today, and I'm going to ask tomorrow, can you score 17 or can you score more than 17 points in a game? Because that's what you've done 19 of the 22 last times out that you've done this. And that's a problem in a league that begging you to score at least 25. The Bengals last week scored 20 points. And they're horrible. Okay?
Not wrong.
Let's be honest about it. This season's now making sure these kids get through the season healthy and they continue to get experience and develop, right? You know you got a winner in Mason Graham. You know you got a winner in Carson Schwechter. You know you got a winner in Quinshon Judkins. You know you got a winner in Harold Fannin, right? Dylan Gabriel, well, that's a question mark. But, hey, 4 kids at the top of your draft class, that's pretty damn good, okay? So, and next year, you're looking at, I think, right now, just off the top, at least 8 of your picks are probably in the top 150, right? So if you can replicate what you did this year, this thing's going to turn around in rather rapid fashion, but asking Browns fans to continue to be patient while Humpty Dumpty gets put back together again, because this is the cycle, right? They missed their first runway with the John Dorsey rebuild. Okay, they got to the playoffs twice. Well, now you got to step back and retool, reload the roster, get younger, get cheaper, make room to absorb the rest of Deshaun's contract and the salary cap and all those type of things. And then, you know, hopefully you're able to bounce this thing back in a season or two. And unfortunately, the last year was a disaster. This year was the first year of putting this thing back together, and then hopefully next year you take a pretty sizable leap as far as winning football games. But yeah, like I can't sit here and yell and scream because the Browns are 1-4 and staring down the barrel of 1-5 when that is what everybody was expecting them to end up being.
Daryl, we got to bounce, but as always, appreciate you setting aside the time. Always good to talk to you, and I think we both know there's a really good chance we're talking about a loss coming up on Tuesday.
Yeah, unfortunately, but you know what? Better days are ahead. Always think of that.
We're always thinking of it. Appreciate you, Daryl.
You bet.
Daryl Ryder, our Cleveland Sports Beat reporter there, courtesy of Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. We'll react to a little bit of what Daryl had to say as well. Get a grip in 5 minutes on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes, subject to driver availability. More terms apply.